It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We've been talking about how a deeply divided House voted last night to add $5 billion in border wall funding to a short-term spending bill. The House gave in to President Trump's demand for the money, but cast more doubts on efforts to avoid a government shutdown because now the bill goes back to the Senate. No House Democrats voted for this bill, by the way. Let's bring in a House member now, talk it through. Congresswoman Gwen Moore is a Democratic representative from Wisconsin's 4th District that covers the Milwaukee area. She has served in Congress since she was first elected in 2004, and she's on the line with us from Washington. Representative Moore, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
So we've been watching this all play out. Late last night in the House, your chamber voted on this government spending bill to put back that $5 billion for the wall. Where are we in this, and what are your feelings about this potential partial government shutdown?
I think the sad part of this, Kate, is that when I asked myself that same question, where are we, I decided to ask some of my Republican colleagues, what's the next step? And they didn't know. Nobody knows what the end game, as it were, is. The thing is that every American is concerned about protecting our borders. But many Republicans disagree that building a physical wall as if this were the Great Wall of China or something is the solution. We think more personnel at the border, more technological innovations, repairing parts of the wall, of the fencing that's currently there, is the solution. And as a matter of fact, there's already $1.3 billion that we've appropriated that has been unexpended. Before we got into the continuing resolution proposals, there was an offer from Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi to add an additional $1.8 billion for border security. We could sure use it now, given that there aren't agents there, for example, to take asylum claims. As an example of one of the things we need to shore up. The president is just sort of hell-bent on producing a physical wall, urged on by people like Laura Ingraham and Rush Limbaugh.
Conservative pundits.
Yes, who just beat him to death about this physical symbol of security that won't actually make us more secure. And I've heard that from the mouths of Republicans.
Congresswoman, let's bring in a call now. Let's go to Steve in Sun Prairie, who has thoughts on this. Steve, go ahead. Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. About a week or so ago, there was a meeting with Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and Donald Trump in the Oval Office talking about, you know, what was going to happen in relation to immigration. And Ms. Pelosi was very adamant that there would not be enough votes in the House to pass something for the wall. And President Trump was very adamant there was. Would you admit that the president was correct in that assessment, that there was enough votes to pass it, and Ms. Pelosi was incorrect?
Well, I'll tell you what I will agree to. I'll agree that the Republicans in the House, as usual, are going along with the president no matter what he does. You know, whether he agrees with the Saudi prince killing a journalist who had American residency, whether he, no matter what he does, with him pulling out of Syria, I suppose we don't know how far this agreement will go. But I know that our democracy is very much in peril because we have a majority in both the House and the Senate who won't stand up to this authoritarian president. So, yes, I would agree with you 100%.
Steve, thanks for the call. Congresswoman Moore, when you say we don't have an end game, that Republicans say they don't have an end game on this, federal workers are caught up in the middle of this. So do you see Congress coming together to figure out a solution on this?
Well, you know, Congress has come together. I mean, there was a bill that passed the Senate, a continuing resolution to punt this thing off into February. It passed, you know, I'm not recalling the exact numbers, but I think it was something like 87 senators passed that bill over to the House. And we were all prepared to vote for it when the president called the Freedom Caucus a real minority in the House of Representatives over to the White House. So we are being governed by minority rule and by authoritarian rule.
Let's go to Mary now in Lancaster. Hi, Mary.
Hello. The reason I was calling is that in regards to this issue and a lot of issues, it's put on that it's the Democrats' fault. It isn't. Republicans run, have all three houses. They have the House, Senate, and the White House. They can't get the votes to pass anything. It's the Republicans that are at fault. And on the radio, there's so much trolling by the conservatives on this radio station that...
So, Mary, I just wanted to allow Congresswoman Moore here to respond to you about all of the blaming work that is going on, because one side will want to blame the other and make sure that then the polls show, like, who is to blame.
Well, Mary, thank you for making those observations. You know, I as far back as I can remember, the president was... again, hell-bent on shutting the government down. It's something that's intrigued him for a while. And so while things seemed like they were going well, I was always very, very cautious and suspicious that we'd get to this point. Because this is what he wants. This is part of his, I guess, apprentice drama. And this is a this is something he feels will shore up his 38-40% of the base. And when you think about it from a marketing perspective, you know, you know, anybody would love to have 40% of the market share. And that is what he's counting on. And so I agree with you, Mary, that that so we're all caught in a kind of a bind. Even those Republicans who don't really agree with this shutdown, they're afraid of being primaried in their next election. And people are being held hostage, I think, to a very mercurial president who is unstable, who is facing threats from 17 criminal investigations, and he is behaving in erratic ways that bring a real threat to our democracy, in my opinion.
One more question before we move on. Let's go to Saeed in Green Bay. Hi, Saeed.
Good morning, and thank you very much for taking my call. This issue lays in full display the dysfunctionality that is currently our American government. I have equal criticism for both parties in this, but let me focus on the current Congresswoman. You mentioned that your hypocrisy in this is so profound. You mentioned the murder of Khashoggi. I contacted your office during the Obama administration to gain some help in investigation of the death of Zahra Kazemi, Iranian photojournalist who died in the custody of the Iranian state. You had no interest, but now you are appointing Khashoggi to discredit the president.
And actually,
well, sir, you know, I am very, very sorry that you didn't get any positive from your perspective feedback or interaction with my office. I can't tell you that I'm exactly familiar with what your request was, but I can tell you what has been very, very public with regard to all of our intelligence agencies. They determined that this American resident, Khashoggi, was murdered by MSP. That, you know, this was not a call to my office to tell me about the murder of a photo journalist. This is an international event. And so I was clearly aware of that. And the feedback from the White House has been, hey, we're getting money from the Saudis. These are our friends. We're, you know, And so that's really clear to me. And we have a great reputation in my office for following up on things. And so I am so sorry if your inquiry was not met to your satisfaction.
Talking with U.S. Congresswoman Gwen Moore, Democratic representative from Wisconsin's 4th Congressional District. Moving on very quickly here, the farm bill. You didn't vote on the farm bill that Congress passed last week and President Trump signed yesterday. The bill did not impose the stricter work requirements that conservatives had pushed for. Why didn't you vote on the bill?
I missed the vote. It happens from time to time, and it was really a regret to me. What I did vote on is that I did enter into the record that had I been there, I would have voted for it. And of course, it was not perfect. One of the things that I really didn't like about the bill is that there was a rule that was slipped into the bill to block a vote on ending the U.S. support for the war in Yemen, an entirely unrelated bill. And although I didn't agree with that, I entered a statement into the record that I would have done it. And on the same day that the president signed the farm bill, the Department of Agriculture proposed a rule that would restrict the ability of states.
And we're going to ask you about that rule when we come back with Congresswoman Gwen Moore. You have a line, 800-642-1234. What challenges do you think face Congress in 2019? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation in a moment, maybe hear from you on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show here on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Congresswoman Gwen Moore stays with us as we have a year-end check-in with our House lawmakers. Representative Moore is the 4th Congressional District, including the Milwaukee area. Your questions as well, 800-642-1234. What do you want her to prioritize in 2019? What issue do you want to get heard? You can call in or tweet us at WPR Mornings. So as we are talking there yesterday, the Agriculture Department proposed a rule that would make it more difficult for states to waive a work requirement for adults with dependents. And congressional Democrats have questioned the legality of this move, saying it was an unfair workaround. How do you see it?
Well, I'm really proud to say that data are really conclusive that 80% of the people who receive that work eligible, so-called able-bodied adults, the year before or the year after they receive SNAP or food stamps, that they are working, which demonstrates that the program really works the way it was designed in a counter-cyclical capitalist climate. When people are out of work for whatever reasons, they've been laid off, the jobs move, there's some illness or something in their family. We have found that food stamps really, really keep people out of deep, deep poverty. And, data are also conclusive that most of these households have, either an elder, children, or a disabled person within the household. And SNAP lifts 3.4 million people out of poverty. It works. It works very well. And so the notion that states won't be able to exempt people from work requirements really runs afoul of what we know, what the data show us. And it's simply yet another narrative and effort to criminalize the poor, to vilify the poor, so that we can justify a reduction in expenditures on SNAP. There have been billions of dollars that have been gouged and taken out of the program. So to feed the public, your audience, Kate, with the notion that these are just lazy ne'er-do-wells who are receiving government benefits is really a way to exploit hardworking Americans' notions about people who receive this benefit. This is a life-saving benefit for families, especially for children, elderly, and the disabled.
On the topic of the Farm Bill, Travis would like to join us from Rice Lake. Hi, Travis.
Hi,
Good
Travis.
Good morning.
I've been to Rice Lake. It's so beautiful up there.
It is wonderful up here. It is. So I just had a couple questions and comments here on kind of what's been discussed. And a caller yesterday asked the question on why do we put so many different things into these bills? And you brought up the fact that with the Farm Bill and all of a sudden getting snuck into here is troops in Yemen. And, you know, this was brought up before, and there's just so many things. And it's, would it be more efficient for the government to reduce the number of things that get put into these bills, make it more concise so that you can actually get to the point and pass what needs to be passed and not get those, the pork barreling and the different things put into them?
Well, you know, that's a one of the things that I've been here since 2004, and I was a member of the state legislature, and I remember Mary Huber from your area. I served with her in the state legislature, and we did try to make sure that there were, quote-unquote, germaneness rules, that that amendments had to be germane. And this is a very different structure here. There are 435 of us. And so people do want to weigh in on this. So we have a complicated rules process, and we do that. Now, unfortunately, we're dealing with a continuing resolution. So we can't really narrow the topic to one thing. We can't narrow it to one thing because we're dealing with the entire government when we're trying to forestall a shutdown. Specifically on the Farm Bill is a handshake between people who are – there's a nutrition title and then there is a farm title. And so, it gets complicated when you start talking about whether or not you're going to give subsidies to rich people who live in New York who own property that is farmland, and whether or not you're going to feed a two-year-old baby. And so that's why you get a lot of interest in the bill. It's why you get a lot of different iterations of these topics. But you're right, germaneness would serve us well.
Travis, thanks for the call. We have more ground to cover. Criminal justice, and this week the Senate passed that First Step Act, a criminal justice reform bill that calls for overhauling how prisoners are treated and prepared for release. Where do you come down on this bill?
Well, you know, Wisconsin, unfortunately, has the highest incarceration rate among African-American men in the entire United States and arguably in the world. So we welcome this First Step Act, and it's truly a bipartisan piece of legislation, and President Trump has indicated that he's prepared to sign it. I do want to point out that this was in the works in the Obama administration, but of course Republicans seem to be a lot more inclined to support it now that President Obama is not in the office. My, how things change in a short period of time. It's the bill has some criticisms that it's that there's some retroactivity that will benefit a lot of prisoners, especially those people who were sentenced for
massive
crack cocaine
mm-hmm.
versus powdered cocaine. And it was clearly a sort of socioeconomic and racial divide that was unfair. There's also some consideration of those sort of geriatric prisoners and to loosen up sort of palliative care and release for them. It doesn't go far enough on reducing mandatory minimum enhancements. That's been a criticism. And there is a real criticism around whether or not we're going to categorize prisoners as high risk, low risk, medium risk. And there's some concern among some groups that this will adversely impact especially low-income brown and black prisoners. But, of course, they call it the First Step Act for a reason, and I support that.
Well, really quickly here, you weighed in on Wisconsin's lame duck session. You responded in a news release with some really harsh words, calling a strongman dictatorship than the United States of America. What did you see going on with Wisconsin's lame duck legislative session that you were so upset about?
I'm sorry, you said that I had a release saying that there was a strong man.
Well, you compared it to a strongman dictatorship.
Well, yeah. I did. I mean, we have a president who says that if we don't fulfill one of his campaign promises to build this absurd wall, that, by the way, Mexico is not going to pay for. He's asking the taxpayers to pay for. That he's going to shut the government down. Yes. You know, the will of the people was established. The Senate, again, passed this bill. I believe there were like 87 I votes. There are only 100 people in the Senate.
Congresswoman, we're running short on time here. Very quickly, a few seconds. What is your New Year's resolution for Congress?
My New Year's resolution for Congress is that we can right the ship. This egregious tax cut that we have given to major corporate Americans, we can move more toward income inequality, and that we can check and balance a president who has sort of gotten out of control.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
U.S. Congresswoman Gwen Moore is a Democrat representative from Wisconsin's 4th District covering the Milwaukee area. Just ahead, as the holidays loom, so do the frantic meal preparations. We have a chef to help us out. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to The Ideas Network.